Hey, y'all, next Wednesday, January the 3rd, I'm giving a talk for Thaddeus Russell's Renegade University at thaddeusrussell.com on the history of the war in Afghanistan. Of course, based on my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And it's supposed to last a couple of hours, and you guys will be able to participate with questions and answers and all that. So that's next Wednesday, January the 3rd at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. And to register, just go to thaddeusrussell.com. See you there.
War is the improvement of investment climates by other means. Clausewitz for dummies.
The Scott Horton Show.
Taking out Saddam Hussein turned out to be a pretty good deal.
They hate our freedoms.
We're dealing with Hitler Revisited.
We couldn't wait for that Cold War to be over, could we? So we can go and play with our toys in the sand. Go and play with our toys in the sand.
No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare.
Today, I authorize the armed forces of the United States to begin military action in Libya. That action has now begun.
When the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot be silent in the face of the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government.
All right, you guys, introducing Roger Ver. He's known as Bitcoin Jesus, although nowadays maybe it's Bitcoin Cash Jesus. And he runs Bitcoin.com. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you, Scott. Glad to be with you.
Very happy to have you on. Now, listen, I plead guilty mostly to myself for just not being, not prioritizing interest in Bitcoin all this time. I mean, you know me, I'm a libertarian radio host. I've known about it since, I think, January or February 2009. I could have bought in when Bitcoins were worth fractions of pennies, and I'd be a zillionaire right now and start my own war. But so I never have any money. So I never invest in anything, cryptocurrencies or stocks or bonds or gold or silver or anything else. So I've really just watched all of this happen with interest around me and, you know, two people in the libertarian movement and all this kind of thing. But then just in the last week, someone came and mercilessly attacked me, a completely ridiculous person, for being associated with antiwar.com, which dared to accept some donations from Bitcoin Jesus, who is apparently now a terrible, terrible person. And so I thought, well, geez, as long as I'm a horrible person for being associated with you by a few degrees of separation, I ought to have you on the show to talk about whatever you want. So welcome to the show. Tell me about Bitcoin Cash.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, I've actually been aware of you for years and years and years with a couple of, you know, degrees of separation there, mainly because I've been anti-war for since I started reading LouRockwell.com in the late 1990s, I think. My philosophy hasn't really changed. It's maybe become a little bit more refined and pure over the years, but I've been a voluntarist for a long, long time. And of course, I'm anti-war, so don't go and kill people you've never met, and certainly don't go and kill people you've never met with money stolen from people in the form of taxation. So of course, I'm opposed to all this, and that's what motivated me to get involved in Bitcoin, because I saw Bitcoin originally when I first heard about it back in 2011. I saw it as this tool to undermine every single government on the planet's ability to control the money supply. And most governments love to print extra money and use it to, or certainly the United States government anyhow, loves to print money and control the money supply so they can buy all sorts of guns and bombs and tanks and use it to murder people around the world. And I want absolutely no part of that whatsoever. So we've been donating, we used to donate Bitcoin to antiwar.com until a bunch of socialists kind of managed to gain control of the Bitcoin core project. And so Bitcoin split into two versions of Bitcoin back on August 1st of this year. There's now Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core. The Bitcoin Core team basically want to centrally plan the amount of block space that the miners are allowed to produce. They openly say that they want the fees to be high. They openly say that they want the transactions to be unreliable. And Bitcoin Cash is the exact opposite. Bitcoin Cash says that they want Bitcoin Cash transactions to be fast, cheap, and reliable. So you have two versions of Bitcoin, one that's slow, expensive, and unreliable, and one that's fast, cheap, and reliable. When I say cheap or I say expensive, I'm referring to the cost it is to actually use the Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin Core, not the value of the token itself. So Bitcoin Cash is fast, cheap to use, and reliable. Bitcoin Core is slow, expensive to use, and unreliable. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out which one of those two versions of Bitcoin is more useful. And it sounds like, as you found out firsthand, there's a bunch of nasty, mean people on the internet that love to just badger and belittle and hound and just pester and infinitely annoy anybody who would want to use the fast, cheap, reliable version of Bitcoin in the form of Bitcoin Cash. And I think that's what you just said motivated you to reach out to me and have you on your show. And there seems to be a whole army of these people out there on the internet that just earlier today, I don't know if it was a full-on confession, but it seems to certainly have been implied that that Blockstream, the CEO of Blockstream, admitted that they have a large full-time team whose job it is out there basically to just do the harassment that you saw. And heaven forbid antiwar.com would accept money of different types from different people who want to give it to them. How anybody in their right mind can think that that's a bad thing is beyond me, yet those people are out there. And if any of those people are listening to this, if you are one of these people that are actually paid to go and harass people online, like, go and take a look in the mirror. What type of person are you that's paid to go and harass people online and spread lies, basically, and harass people that just want to engage in involuntary commerce with other people? Like, do some reflection in the mirror and think about that.
Well, and seriously, just like Hasbara trolls, it's all counterproductive anyway. You know what I mean? I never heard of Bitcoin Cash before until I was accused of being in on a plot to destroy Bitcoin. And then it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll have the guy from Bitcoin Cash on, since I'm already guilty with you and whatever the charges are, dude. Let's team up. I don't know.
Let's do
what
it.
What the hell? This is completely ridiculous. Just like when the Hasbara trolls come and go, oh, yeah, well, how come the Palestinians can't just all move away somewhere? Yeah, that's really not a very good argument. You know? Kind of.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to point out, so I was the very first person in the entire world to start investing in cryptocurrency startups, and that first cryptocurrency was Bitcoin. And I got involved because of my anti-war stance and you know, want people to have more control over their own lives. And that's the exact same reason I'm now promoting Bitcoin Cash, because Bitcoin Core has been morphed into something that doesn't grant more individual freedom. It doesn't liberate people around the world. It doesn't prevent governments from dropping bombs on people around the world, whereas Bitcoin Cash has a real chance of doing that. So that's why I'm now promoting Bitcoin Cash, because I'm the exact same person I was when I started supporting Bitcoin Core back in the early days.
All right, hang on just one second. Hey, guys, check it out. You should buy my book, Fool's Errand. Time to End the War in Afghanistan. It's at foolserrand.us. Also, my buddy Eric Schuler is putting all the interviews up on YouTube. YouTube.com/Scott Horton Show. And we're going to have the whole archive. It's going to take till February because there's a limit of 100 a day. And there's 4,500 interviews. But we're finally doing it. Especially all those of you who donated in the past thinking that's where it was going. I tried. I swear. I've had so many people make this promise before. But Eric Schuler's getting it done. And big thanks to Eric for that. And hey, check out scotthorton.org/donate for all the ways to help support the show and to read about all the great kickbacks you can get, including free audiobooks and silver discs and lifetime subscriptions to audiobooks. And yeah, and I take bitcoins and all kinds of cryptocurrencies too. Check all that out. And also sign up at Patreon. Anybody who signs up to donate $1 or more per interview at patreon.com/scotthortonshow, you get 2 free audiobooks with that. You can find out all about all that stuff at scotthorton.org/donate and shop amazon.com by way of my link. And I'll get a little bit of kickback from their end of the sale. And hey, leave a good review on iTunes or Stitcher if you like the show. Some of you do. And if you read the book and you liked it, let them know at amazon.com as well. That helps. And yeah, thanks. All right. Yeah. And you know what? That's the thing of it too, man, is all the accusations about motives. It seems like even if people disagree with you and somebody thinks, I mean, I don't have a dog in this fight. I you know, owned a few dozen Bitcoins over my life and spent them on the rent. Now I own one. So I'm not, you know, an interested party in any of this necessarily. But it just seems to me like if someone really believes that Roger Ver made a really bad decision, you should have stuck with original Bitcore and just done Bitcoin and done Core and done everything you could to influence those guys to do it right or something like that, that still it's a huge stretch to then say, oh, this guy turned from Bitcoin Jesus into the Bitcoin devil and is now, you know, whereas before he was doing all this great stuff, now his motives have changed to, you know, evil, simple greed and malevolent motives to destroy all that is good and this and that, which is the way it's been spun. But let me ask you this, though. It seems like, well, okay, first of all, a guy sent me a Bitcoin. A very nice donor sent me a Bitcoin. It went right through. But another guy tried to send me a couple of $100 worth of Bitcoin, you know, a fraction of a tenth of a something of a Bitcoin. And it like took 2 days, and he had to end up going and paying some extra fee to make it actually go through. So I think this is the bottleneck that you're talking about there. So one, I guess, I'm curious as to, and I know it's, you know, your opponent's motives I'm asking you to characterize, but I'm curious as to what it is that they think, why that's better to do it that way. And then secondly, if the major difference between old Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash is that you have these larger blocks so that that's not a problem, and if yours, therefore, is more successful because of that, Bitcoin Cash is more successful because of that, then won't they just change? Isn't that just a line of code? If you prove in the market that you were right and they were wrong, then won't they just switch to doing it your way, 8 megabyte-sized blocks or whatever it was, so that, and then, you know, run you right back out of business again? Or what about all that?
Maybe, although they've really dug their heels in deeply at this point, and they've gotten absolutely everything they asked for. They asked for segregated witness, they have it. They asked for 1 megabyte blocks forever, they have it. They got absolutely everything they asked for, and including a bunch of censorship online. For people that aren't deeply involved in this, I implore you to Google Bitcoin censorship on Google, and this amazing article will come out talking about all the just insane amount of censorship that's been going on the main discussion platforms for Bitcoin. So if you think Bitcoin's supposed to be a censorship-resistant currency, you shouldn't trust the Bitcoin Core people, because they're out there engaging in as much censorship as they possibly can, and literally deleting anybody's post that's in opposition to their roadmap or game plan. And at the end of the day, I don't think that the Bitcoin Core people are evil people. I think they just don't understand the economic reasons that Bitcoin became successful in the first place, and that was by providing fast, cheap, reliable transactions for everybody in the entire world. And now they've intentionally made Bitcoin transactions slow, expensive, and unreliable. And so if you have two versions of Bitcoin, one that's fast, cheap, and reliable, and one that's slow, expensive, and reliable, I'm sorry, slow, expensive, and
unreliable. What's the advantage, as far as you understand it, what's their argument for keeping it this way?
Their argument is that you'll be able to run a full node. But can I ask you, Scott, have you ever run a Bitcoin full node in your entire involvement in Bitcoin? And if you don't know, the answer is no.
Well, I mean, I had a wallet where I had to apparently download the entire ledger in order to run it. And I thought that was my only choice, the Bitcoin Core wallet that I had there for a while. But then it turns out I can have this Electrum wallet and no problem. Is that what you mean?
Right. That's exactly what I mean. So in the early days, the only choice was to have a full node wallet, whereas today, 99.something% of the users around the world are not running a full node wallet. They're using something like blockchain.info or the bitcoin.com wallet or Electrum, or there's, you know, probably 100 choices out there at this point. So the argument from the other side, they think that everybody needs to be able to run a full node. Never mind the fact now that one single Bitcoin transaction is more expensive than it costs to run a full node at this point. So I think they're putting the cart before the horse here. It's more important that people be able to afford to actually use Bitcoin than it is for them to be able to afford to be able to run a full node. And with the way that it's heading with the Bitcoin Core team, people aren't going to be able to they're not going to be able to afford to make a Bitcoin transaction, and they're not going to have any reason to run a full node, because nobody's going to be using it in the long run. And here's a prediction of the day. 1 year from now, Bitcoin Core is not going to be the top cryptocurrency in the world. I'm very confident of that.
Well, I guess I'm a little mystified as to all the hard feelings. I mean, I know money is important and things like that. So where people have their business is really at stake, sure. But it seems like the vast majority of the early adopters of all these cryptocurrencies are all ideological libertarians or ideological decentralists of one kind or another, who in spirit cheer on all forms of cryptocurrencies and let the best man win, or men, right? Why not have 100 of these different things? And isn't that what everybody already thinks? So what's with all the venom about this?
That's my position. And all the people that support Ethereum and all the people that support Dash and Monero and take your pick, pretty much all of them are like, you know, use whatever coin is the most useful for you. We don't care at all. The reason there's so much venom from the Bitcoin Core team is because they've openly and intentionally stolen the Bitcoin brand, and they've morphed it into something that's not even remotely described in the original Bitcoin white paper or on the original Bitcoin website. And the reason they are so furious with Bitcoin Cash is because Bitcoin Cash very clearly is the Bitcoin that was described in the original Bitcoin white paper and is the Bitcoin described on the original Bitcoin website and is the Bitcoin described by Satoshi Nakamoto and is the Bitcoin that myself and all these other early adopters got involved with. It was a peer-to-peer digital cash, whereas Bitcoin Core is trying to make Bitcoin into something other than a digital cash system. They're trying to make it into some peer-to-peer science project settlement layer thing that's not useful, isn't going to be able to undermine governments around the world's ability to wage war. It isn't anything more than an interesting science project, whereas Bitcoin Cash can liberate every single human being on the entire planet. So if you're in favor of people having complete control of their own money and being able to do whatever the heck they want with it without having to ask politicians for permission, Bitcoin Cash is for you. Bitcoin Core is not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, but here's the thing, though. I mean, it sort of makes sense to me if they decided something like, well, Bitcoin should be more like a savings account than a debit card, something like this, you know, and as long as we're just talking in metaphors and whatever kind of thing, because, well, Gresham's law, right, is that bad money chases out good. So I know in my experience, the only times I've sold my Bitcoins was when I absolutely had to pay the rent. Otherwise, I would always save them. And the one I have now, I'm kind of like, wow, I wonder if I should just sit on it for 15 years and then maybe I'll buy a house then. And why would I spend my Bitcoins or my Bitcoin Cash, which is also appreciating, when I can spend my Federal Reserve notes, which are constantly depreciating? And so isn't that a problem that both of y'all face, or that all cryptocurrencies face, is that, you know, maybe there's like an ideological reason or a financial reason to use them instead of Federal Reserve notes in some circumstances. But it seems like overall, everybody wants to bet on saving the things.
So I don't think either of those things are problems. So I guess, first of all, in regards to Gresham's law, that only applies when the government sets a fixed exchange rate between the two coins. So let's say you have silver dollars made out of silver and silver dollars, quote unquote, but made out of tin or whatever they're made out of now. The government has mandated that those two things have the same value. Gresham's law clearly applies. Nobody's going to spend the ones that are actually made of real silver. People are only going to spend the ones that are made out of something else. And that's exactly what we saw happen in the U.S. when the coins, you know, stopped having silver in them. Gresham's law does not apply to commodities that are allowed to have a free exchange rate and float on the market like Bitcoin does against the dollar and Bitcoin does against all the other altcoins. So Gresham's law doesn't apply in that case. And in regards to the hoarding argument, well, why would I ever spend a Bitcoin if they're going to be worth more next year? I don't think that that's a real issue either, just like the fact that, $1,000 today can buy you a brand new iPhone, but $1,000 a year from now is going to buy you a much better iPhone than the one that's out here today. So why would anybody ever buy a new iPhone today when the same amount of money can get them a better one next year?
Not all wants can be put off indefinitely. I understand, right.
That's right. So there's a time preference there. So people are willing to spend their things. And for anybody that's having that attitude, well, why would I spend my Bitcoin when I can just spend dollars? Well, I would implore you to take those dollars and buy more Bitcoin Cash and then spend your Bitcoin Cash every chance you have. And that way you're undermining the government's ability to control the economy and wage wars and do all sorts of horrible things to people all over the world. So if you want to undermine politicians' ability to control people, start using cryptocurrency in every chance you have and every trade you have.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, So tell me more about this ending war for all time with Bitcoin, because I like ending war for all time, but I'm a little bit skeptical about this currency or Bitcoin Cash or any of these or all of them combined being able to really replace government money. Is there nothing that governments will be able to do about that?
I don't know if there's nothing that they'll be able to do about it, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. It's probably impossible to stop all murders happening everywhere in the world forever, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and put some effort into that. And the amount of effort required to just start using Bitcoin Cash in your daily life is actually pretty minimal. It's actually a really, really convenient payment method. And the way that's the case is if you look all throughout history, most wars mainly were financed through inflation, not so much through direct taxation. And so if you suddenly strip away every single government on the planet's ability to inflate their money supply, that really forces them into a pickle where they have to directly tax people to pay for the things that they want to do. And people feel that and are opposed to the direct taxation much, much, much more than the hidden tax of inflation. Mm-hmm. So that's one other example. And then there's some other really, really interesting examples that are coming down the lines in regards to prediction markets that could potentially be used to stop people from waging wars. And that will, you know, I think you'll hear more and more about that in the years to come. But there's I'll leave it at that for now. So.
All right. Well, you know, I was talking with a guy who said I've been working forever on this, and somebody finally figured out a platform where you can basically instantly exchange all of your different kinds of digital currencies for each other. And you can, you know, like even if something is priced in Bitcoin Cash, you can go ahead and buy it with, you know, Ethereum or whatever the hell it's called, or the other ones. And that this was the thing that this is like the real step that's blowing everybody's mind. In fact, the guy said that at some meeting of, I don't know if it was the Treasury or the SEC or the Federal Reserve Board in San Francisco or something, whatever it was, and one of the questioners asked them about this, what are your plans for dealing with this? And they had no idea, and they didn't even answer. And then he said the whole crowd and all the reporters broke out laughing because they just had such a dumbfounded look on their face. So is that right? I don't know about that anecdote, but as far as the technology and all that?
I think that sounds right, and that's why I'm so excited about Bitcoin Cash and cryptocurrencies in general, because literally the only way to stop them would be to turn off the entire internet in the entire world and keep it turned off. And I don't think that's a realistic proposition at this point. So the fact that the politicians and the SEC and whoever else just have this, you know, dumbfounded look on their face when people ask them, what are you going to do about this? That just shows how powerful of a tool it is for human freedom and why we should all be supporting it and getting involved as fast as we possibly can.
Hey guys, check it out. I got a new sponsor, Zencash. It's a new cryptocurrency. They do messaging and documents and all kinds of new stuff. You can listen to my interview with Rob Viglione, one of the developers and the guys behind it, at scotthorton.org, if it's posted yet, but at least it will be very soon. Zensystem.io to find out all about it. And they've got a great white paper that explains exactly the deal with this new blockchain currency. And I don't know everything about this stuff, but this one looks promising to me. And I've talked with Rob, and he's a really great guy. So check it out, zensystem.io. And then, of course, also buy my book, Fool's Errand. Buy Mike Swanson's book, The War State. More importantly, read The War State, however you get it. Borrow it from your friend. It's a great history of the rise of the military-industrial complex after World War II. You'll really like it. And you'll like his investment advice at wallstreetwindow.com. Buy your precious metals from Roberts and Roberts Brokerage, Inc., your anti-government propaganda from libertystickers.com. We've got a brand new website coming and brand new art for a lot of old stickers, and then maybe I'll come up with some new stickers. So good things happening there at libertystickers.com. And listen, if you want a 2018 model website to look good for your business or whatever it is that you're doing online, you need to check out expanddesigns.com. If you go to expanddesigns.com/Scott, you save $500 on your brand new website. All right, so I guess I'm taking a little bit of a risk here, but what do you think of Zencash?
I'm a fan of Zencash. I'm a really big fan of all the privacy coins. So Zencash, Zcoin, Zcash, Monero, Dash, like anything that helps. And that's, I guess, one of the other things that really frustrated me in this Bitcoin civil war is Bitcoin used to have a fair amount of privacy tools out there that could help people have some additional privacy with their Bitcoin transactions. The privacy on Bitcoin Core has been completely destroyed by the full blocks and high fees because it makes Bitcoin Core too expensive and unreliable to use any of these privacy services. And they've all completely died on Bitcoin Core, but they're being revived again on top of Bitcoin Cash. So that's another way in which the crazy economic policies of Bitcoin Core have incredibly damaged Bitcoin. So I'm a fan of all, you know, there's 1,001 different cryptocurrencies out there. There's this Darwinian evolution of cryptocurrencies going on out there. The most useful ones at the end of the day are going to be the ones that win and have the biggest market share. So of course I'm in favor of that. I want more people around the world to have more useful tools in their own lives, to have more control over their own lives. So whether it's if Bitcoin Cash or Zencash or take your pick, I'm in favor of it.
Cool. Well, they're a new sponsor on the show, actually, Zencash, and I'm going to interview Robert Viglione on the show later today about it. And it seems kind of cool. You can send messages and texts and documents and this kind of thing, but you mentioned the privacy there. This is something that's always confused me just because I'm a computer illiterate when it comes to this level of, you know, coding and this and that. But I've always had a little bit of dissonance about this public ledger available to everyone, but also it's completely anonymous and everybody can go about their financial life without the, you know, IRS or other forms of Big Brother looking over their shoulder. And it just seems like, doesn't the NSA or the IRS have their own copy of the ledger? And can't they, at least assuming anybody ever cashes the stuff out for Federal Reserve notes, they can track it to your bank account or to the auto dealership where you buy a car with it or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, they sure do. So Bitcoin is definitely not anonymous, and you shouldn't assume that it is. And if you want to use Bitcoin privately, at the moment, you have to be really, really, really careful with how you do it, almost to the point where it might almost be considered impossible to use it anonymously at this point. But hopefully some additional tools to add additional privacy to Bitcoin Cash are coming. And then you have great things like Zencash as well and all these other privacy coins. So the more
tools. So if they have that ledger, the way it works is the ledger, well, how does that work? The ledger is open enough that it can be checked by a broad market of computer coder guys, making sure that it all stays legitimate, right? But at the same time, they're not able to tell who's who?
Yeah, so different ones work in different ways. I think the main way of thinking about it is that they use something called a zero-knowledge proof. And the easiest way to understand what a zero-knowledge proof is let's say I have a Where's Waldo book, and I want to prove to you that I know where Waldo is, but I don't want you to know where Waldo is. The way I could do that is I could take a big giant piece of paper with a little hole in it, and I could position the hole so through the hole you can see Waldo, but you can't see where he is in relation to the rest of the picture. So now I've proven to you that I know where Waldo is, but you have no idea where Waldo is. Mm-hmm. So these privacy coins kind of work in a similar way. Mathematically, they're able to verify all the details of the transaction to make sure that nobody's spinning the same coins twice or making fake coins at all. But you're not able to see where the coins came from or where they went to or things like that. So you can be sure that everything is in order as it's supposed to be, but you don't get to know any of the actual details. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Waldo example is kind of a easier to understand example of what's going on with the mathematics behind there with these privacy coins.
Yeah, I think so too. Thanks for that. Makes it a lot easier for me to understand. I do see what you mean there. So cool. And, you know, I'm happy to hear you say about Zencash that, like, oh yeah, you know, let a thousand flowers bloom kind of an attitude is what I assumed you're going to say anyway. It's quite counter to all the accusations about your nefarious motives here.
For the record, I own some Zencash. So
do what?
For the record, I own some Zencash. I own a basket of cryptocurrencies. I used to only own Bitcoin until the Bitcoin core team started actively and intentionally destroying the monetary characteristics that made Bitcoin a success. And I can see the writing on the wall. If you destroy the reasons that Bitcoin became a success, Bitcoin's no longer going to be a success. So that's why I've sold the majority of my Bitcoin core coins for more Bitcoin Cash. But I also bought some Zencash, which was one of the ones that I diversified just a little bit into. But we'll see how that does.
Well, good. Then your enemies can still suspect your motives for saying something nice about it. All right. Hey, listen, man. Well, first of all, thank you very much for supporting antiwar.com. You know, I'm just the opinion editor, so I'm not really part of that sort of the business. And I didn't really know much about it until this, you know, pseudo controversy on Twitter over the weekend. But I'm glad that it happened. So I'm glad that I got a chance to meet you and to learn more about this stuff. And, well, just as you said, to promote the overall concept of this kind of thing, whether people choose Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or Zencash or any of these other things, it's, you know, there's a 99% or 98% of humanity is still in the dark about this stuff, right? It's just at the very beginning here. So, but yeah, you know, that's why they call you Bitcoin Jesus, I come to figure. Because you really are, you know, evangelical about spreading this. And, you know, Lord knows you've done a lot of good for a lot of people. I know a lot of libertarians are rich because they listened to you back when. So just on that most narrow basis, I know you've done a lot of good. But I really dig the whole overall concept, and not just in a everybody get rich quick kind of a way, but as you're putting it, so that you don't have to rely on, you know, government or big banks or whoever to stand in the way. People can just trade their money. It's sort of like opening the door on a brand new world of possibilities. It really does seem like, you know?
That's right.
It's pretty good. I'm just barely scratching the surface of beginning to understand what you're getting at here, Roger, but I think I get it. I'm on the right path now.
Well, you've been on the right path to peace the whole time, and Bitcoin is a tool to bring the world more. Cryptocurrencies in general are a tool to bring much more peace to the world as a whole. So that's why I'm involved as well.
Right on. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, you guys. That's Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus. Now he's Bitcoin Cash Jesus. Check him out at bitcoin.com. And you know me, I'm at scotthorton.org. Sign up for the podcast feed there. Libertarianinstitute.org. I'm the managing director at the Libertarian Institute. My book is Fool's Errand. It's at foolserrand.us, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan. Everybody loves it. You'll like it. And follow me on Twitter, @ScottHortonShow. Thanks, you guys.